grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. These past several weeks, our gospel lessons have all centered on how God reverses the usual order for his own purposes. You know, human nature is more impressed with glory and wealth and beauty and the like. But God works quite the opposite. Faith, the size of a mustard seed, works wonders because it comes from God. Hard-working servants are forced to admit that they are unworthy since they're only doing what's expected of them. A rich man who fed a poor beggar still goes to hell for unbelief, all of his good works toward that poor, unfortunate man notwithstanding. And this week's parable, that of the importunate widow, persistent widow, is another case of a great reversal of fortunes. A judge keeps refusing to hear this poor widow's case. Why would he refuse to hear her cries for justice? Well, presumably she lacks bribe money. Unfortunately, there were unrighteous judges in those days, and they had no time for losers. In the days when a woman lost her husband, she also lost her income and her social standing. There was no social security, no insurance of any kind. She would have to rely on her sons, if she had any, and if not, she would become a beggar. But at any rate, she had no money in which to bribe the judge. But he finally heard her case. Why? Did he get religion? Did he have a bad conscience? Well, actually, he decides to give her a favorable judgment, not on the merits of her case, but because he was sick and tired of being pestered. He's on record as not caring what God or people think of him. Now, would you ever want to go before a judge like that? Like most of his parables, Jesus told another shocker. He compares the holy God to that wretched judge. Why does our Lord make such an absurd comparison, using the example of an unrighteous judge to illustrate the goodness of God? Well, the only way this parable can make any sense is to remember that the scriptures say that the wisdom of God seems like foolishness to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 uses the word foolishness four times to tell you the ways that God defies human reason. And the parable of the unjust judge isn't a condemnation of crooked public officials. It actually says something about God's judgment and his justice and how you stand before him. It encourages you to be persistent in your prayers. Now, what does this parable say about you and me? Well, if we could stand before God today, we would be defendants with no credibility. Our case has no merit. The evidence is stacked against us. We have sinned against God, and we are guilty as charged. Yet we dare to tell God, "But I've lived a good life. I've done my best to avoid the really offensive things." Surely that counts for something. Well, according to the prophet Isaiah, God views even the best of your deeds as if they are filthy rags. So really, we have nothing to offer in our own defense to the holy judge, our God. Now, what does this parable say about God? Well, rest assured, he's not corrupt. Jesus used an absurd example to show you that God works in ways that to us seem absurd. You have a God who doesn't care what other people think he should be like. You know, in our heart of hearts, we want God to judge us on the basis of our works And people have invented numerous false gods who do just that. They reward the good, they crack the whip, and they punish the bad. Well, the one true God is not like these idols. He saves sinners while they are sinners. He gives faith to people without their even asking for it. And that is precisely why Jesus used the example of a bad judge. We have a God who does the opposite of what people think God should do. He condemns the self-righteous, and he forgives the sinners who repent for Jesus' sake. In our heart of hearts, though, we want God to reward us for our good behavior. Yeah, I know I've said this in a sermon before, but I'll say it again. My only brush with the law came in 1984 when I got a $15 parking ticket. That parking ticket was given to me most unjustly. I did not deserve that ticket. You know why? Because the Vice President of the United States, George H.W. Bush, was campaigning for re-election at my college campus, Henry Ford Community College in Dearborn, Michigan, talking to the United Auto Workers. There was not a parking spot to be found. So I did what everybody else was doing. I parked on the lawn. I'm going to go to class. I'm paying tuition. I'm a good student. I'm going to class. For my trouble, I was given a parking ticket. I believe that was unjust. So I said, I'm going to fight this ticket. I'm going to court. On the appointed day, I gathered up my paperwork to show what a good guy I was, papers to show that I was a good student, my medals, all this other stuff, and I took them to the clerk. The clerk looked at it, and I thought I'd get off the hook. He told me, no, pay the $15 now, or I could show my good conduct medal to the judge, and she would still make me pay the $15, plus $75 court cost. I paid the $15, but to this very day, I do not believe I got justice. Actually, I think the judge was a Democrat, and George Bush was a Republican, but, well, you know, you and I are also not going to receive justice from God. We are not. Instead, we're going to receive mercy. Not justice, mercy. You know, and we've done nothing to deserve it. God isn't going to punish you or me or any Christian. Instead, God punished the Christ, the sinless one. Another absurd, seemingly reversal of the usual order. You punish the guilty, not the innocent. But God punished the innocent Christ. So truly, the parable of the wicked judge and the persistent widow causes our heads to spin over the usual order. But the gospel is all about reversals. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, "For our sake, he made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might receive the righteousness of God." God, in his divine mercy, has justified you by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You don't need to present anything to God, not your tears, not your pleading, not your good conduct, or anything. You only need Jesus Christ, and you have him. And don't lose heart, because you've already been judged. You've already been judged. And the verdict is already in. Not guilty of any sin. How can that be? Our Lord's last word on the cross was, "It is finished," which means paid in full. He was found guilty of every transgression that you or I ever have committed or ever will commit. Jesus was sentenced to your punishment and mine. The scriptures declare the wages of sin is death. His death, Jesus' death, not your own. Now, what sense does that grace, does that reversal make? Imagine a judge assigning your guilt to somebody else. I mean, I wish the vice president had been assigned that $15 parking ticket that I got. Imagine somebody else serving your sentence. But that's the gospel. Jesus, the innocent one, takes your punishment and serves your sentence of guilt. That's why Jesus used this outrageous example to make a point. Christianity turns the whole human notion of justice upside down. He justifies the sinner. He declares the guilty to be not guilty. He punishes the innocent one. And now, as St. Paul says, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. God does not meet our own stringent standards. He has his own, and they are merciful standards. Our Lord ends the parable by asking, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Makes no difference to God whether or not your case is just, whether you're a winner or a loser. All he cares about is that you cherish that mustard seed of faith that he has given you. Believe the gospel. Receive Jesus Christ in word and sacrament. Be persistent in using the means of grace. Be persistent in your prayers. And never give up hope that God hears you for Jesus' sake. Just as the human judge safeguards his or her reputation, so does God. And God safeguards his reputation for mercy, and he gives it to you. He dispenses grace and not stern punishment. In spite of our status as unworthy servants, God has justified us without us needing to do a blessed thing. So never lose heart. We are sinners, but we are also in Christ, and our justification is assured. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.